Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Duchesne. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is James Duchesne, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and I'm here with you this evening and looking so happy and glad to be here on another Saturday, and I'm always excited about being here with you on Saturday because we have the opportunity to just reflect on everything that has happened throughout the week. And this week has been a very, very special week for me. I have to tell you that it was my anniversary this week, and I just had the opportunity or was given the opportunity to have a show every day. We didn't have a show on Friday, but we had a show every day except Friday. And it was just a glorious opportunity. And I am so looking forward to seeing what that may turn into. And I just want to thank all of those of you who participated and who assisted me and made the show so good. And I just look forward to that. I look forward to the support that you all have given me throughout the week. And I just want to encourage you to give me that type of support every day the show is on. Put the show on your schedule. Find a way to make sure you remind yourself about the show. I want you to put it in your iPhones, put it on your written calendars, put it on your refrigerator. Just put it everywhere you can so that you can call in and participate and give the show the life that it truly needs. And it needs your support. It needs your voice. It needs your participation. It just needs everything that you bring to the table. I want to be prepared and ready to bring everything I have to the table. And I'm telling you, every day I'm learning more and more and more. I'm out there searching for stories to share with you, to bring to the table. I'm out there trying to meet people to ask to be hosts on the show. I'm out there trying to meet people who've been involved in situations that they would like to share with my audience. So I'm trying to do everything I can, stir the pot, as I've been told, to bring to you an exciting voice, an exciting opportunity to have your voice heard. And I'm going to bring it to you real. That's what I want to make sure. I want to bring everything to you as honest and as real as I can. I want to be honest and real with you, and in turn, I want you to be honest and real with the world. That's what we have to do. We have to be out there fighting for every round in 100% participating and trying to make a difference in the world around us. And I just want to keep us doing that. I want there to be no doubt in nobody's mind what Thoughts, Love, and Reflection brings to the table and what my audience brings to the table. So we have to be encouraged and ready and prepared to fight back because there is a force out there that is looking to knock us out, and we can't just allow it. I mean, there are things happening in the United Kingdom and around Europe that we have to be on guard for because they want to bring that same meal to the table here in America, and we ain't prepared to eat it. So we're going to make sure that we merge our forces together and make sure our voices are heard in a way that no one can suggest that they didn't hear it. So that's what Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is here to do, is to make sure that we get involved in every issue, we take a look at every story, and we do not and will not be afraid to bring it to the forefront. We have to make sure that people understand that we're here and we're not going anywhere. And we're going to make sure that they can't deny what they've heard. And so once we put it out there on the air and encourage people to listen, encourage more people to participate, we'll know without a doubt that our voices are being heard. But we need your strength to make that happen. We need your participation to make it happen. And we need your voices out there with your family and your friends, asking them to call in and download the show so that we can just share it and be prepared to talk about everything that happens. I got a few things I want to talk about this evening. I spent several hours today doing some editorial work on speaking about a story that we talked about here, was when a parent in Louisiana spanked her kids after they broke in someone's house. And I just want to say to you, I want you to go back to YouTube, and I want you to Google Ms. Spears' name. I'm going to mess up her first name. I think it was Sequiquan Spears. She's from Louisiana. And this is a single mother of six who disciplined her children, spanked her children after they had broken into a neighbor's home. She made her children take whatever it was that they had stolen. She took it back to her neighbor and promised her neighbor that she was going to take care of the situation. And after taking care of the situation, she was then arrested, and her children, hopefully if I say this right, her children were given to her mother but taken away from her. So I'm not sure if the children have been returned. I know that there are people who are trying to determine whether or not she's going to be charged. And I think we need to be yelling and screaming to support this mother to make sure she's not charged and that her children are returned. Seriousness of children not being harmed to the point where they can't walk and talk and beat up like they've been in a fight, or seriously hurt where they're being hospitalized. But this was not the case for these three kids. They needed no hospitalization. They had no broken bones or arms, as I've heard it. But this mother was out there trying to save her children, and instead she was taken to jail and she lost her job. I hope that some employer in Louisiana who's willing to step up and give her a job, and I hope the community is willing to step up and support her through this period. I want to tell you now, there was a young lady who chose to assist her by bailing her out of jail, and I just want to give her a shout out as well, because it's important, again, that we support people who are willing to step up and do the right thing. I think it was Miss Winter Applewhite, if I'm not mistaken, Miss Applewhite, who stepped up and paid $400 to assist Miss Spears in getting out of jail. And I just want to thank her for doing that. I want to thank Miss Nicholson, Allison Nicholson, who was the next-door neighbor, who's also spoke up in support of Ms. Spears after Ms. Spears returned the things to her home and spoke up and said that she thinks the mother did the right thing. That's what we have to do, guys. We have to be prepared and willing to speak up, because we have to talk about what has been our experience. I don't know nothing about anybody else's experience. I can't talk for nobody else but myself. And I know that my parents love me, okay? I want you to understand that. Without a doubt, I know my parents love me. But in spite of them loving me, they were prepared, willing, and able to discipline me. And I appreciate that discipline right now. And I lived and grew up in an environment where discipline was something that was done not only in the home, but also at school. And again, I appreciate the discipline my parents gave me, my coaches gave me, my principals gave me, and I'm just gonna say it. I need us. I told you that every show I'm gonna give a call to action, and I want you to Google Ms. Spears and this situation about her disciplining her kids in Louisiana because they broke into her neighbor's home. I want you to Google and try to figure out how to reach out to these ladies and just say to them, if all you can do is send an email to them and say how proud you are that they stood up and supported each other. They didn't come out and start saying all kind of ugly things about each other. They came out and put their money where their mouth is. Ms. Applewhite, who is, I'm sure, a hardworking individual, took her money and bailed Spears out of jail. Ms. Nicholson, who I'm sure was mad and upset about her house being broke into, got on the news and talked about she supported the mother and what she did. These are the kinds of things we have to do on a regular basis. We have to be proud of ourselves and of our community. And when somebody steps up to the plate and do what they need to do in order to make our country better, make our communities better, make our towns better, make our neighborhoods better, then we need to speak up about it. We should not go quietly away and let the story go away without letting these parents and these neighbors know how much we support them. And I just want to go on record. So my call to action to you is just what I did. I Googled these individuals. I tried all I could to send out emails to people telling them what I felt about the story, showing and asking for the need of a support for these individuals. And if you can get me any information where I can get the address of these people, or I can send them a book and do something, I want to step up and say, hey, great job. Everybody involved, great job. You know, we need to stand up and just support people who are out there on the front line, the very front line. Now, I'm going to go to the lines right quick because I got a lot to talk about, and this is a review of a story we've already done, but we still want to give people an opportunity to talk about it. Here we have a single parent of six kids who's doing all she can to save her kids, keep them out of trouble, and show them discipline, and she gets put in jail and loses her job. So I just want you to step up and say what you have to say, and we'll get go on, but we're going to continue. Our call to action today is Google this story, find out how to reach out to these women, and email them and let you know what you feel. If you get their physical address, please give it to me or get it to me so I can send a letter and make it even more personal. Okay, we're going to go to the phones real quick. 2730, are you out there? 2730. All right, 2765, are you out there?
I would like to say that if you do get that information, could you put it on your website also so that we can, who go into your website, can also express our feelings and get that information out there too. I would like to also say that I commend the young lady, the lady who paid the $400. She was a hairdresser. She took the money out of her business to bail her out of jail, and I commend her on that. I also would like to see the whole neighborhood rally behind this lady, because that's the right thing to do. And you're correct. The school that I grew up in high school and junior high school, not only did we get a whipping at high school, when we got home, we got a whipping also. That also goes for someone in our neighborhood people, the elderly. If they see us doing something wrong, they would reprimand us, and then we would get a second recommend when we got home. So I would like to see that passed. And I'm glad that it was brought to the forefront of national news. And like you said, I hope they continue to keep this in the spotlight. But I think that I don't think there's no ground for her to discipline her kid and teach him right from wrong, because in the end, like she said, that she did it, and she did it because she did not want to find them dead in a gang or having to have to identify them later in a morgue. So she felt that that was the right thing to do, and I commend her wholeheartedly. And the rod or the belt has never killed nobody, and if this is the way to get their attention, and a lot of time it is. I mean, I used to get whipping, and it wasn't with a belt, it was a switch. And our mom and my dad used to kind of braid them up a little bit. And sure, you're going to have some marks there, but they do disappear. But that's a reminder, too, of what it is that you did. So the next time that you go out there, you think twice before doing something incorrect. That's all I have to say.
And that's right. You know, you have to, first of all, wrong can be exciting. It can be something that you start to make a habit. So she intervened in a fashion to make sure that they clearly understood that there was a line they better not cross, and she did it in a way that she sent a message to the ones who weren't involved, so that the ones who weren't involved know that there's a line that shouldn't be crossed, and she ain't gonna tolerate it, and she should be applauded for it, and not have her children taken away for trying to step up and make sure that her neighborhood is not impacted in a negative fashion because of her kids.
Correct.
All right, we're gonna go to 2730. 2730, you out there?
Yes, thank you. This is Audrey from Lakeland, Florida. And again, I agree with the caller. I commend her, and I appreciate your challenging us to a call to action, because words are good and fine, but action is better. And I agree. I think this young lady had courage to do the right thing. She was not only doing the right thing, but setting an example for her children. Once she found out that it was her child that had stolen or broken in, she made them live up to that. What a statement that is demonstrating as far as her principles and her expectations. And I'm thankful to the neighbor for being supportive, because children are on a journey. And, of course, while we want them to do the very best, at times they make choices that are not the best. And hopefully they're young enough that they can recover from them. But while we as parents are there to support them, we are to support them by doing the right thing. So I appreciate your call to action. Again, all of us, if indeed we find a way in which we can and share our thoughts and appreciation of the actions personally, that would be great, because we never know what they're going through, and at that very moment when they just receive words of encouragement would give them the strength and remind them of, you know, while it may not be popular, it is right to do the right thing, and that's what's expected of us, and that takes more courage than anything to do the right thing, and then to receive the backlash of losing your job and potential incarceration and all that. So, again, thank you for the challenge or the call to action. Thank you for bringing this story back to our forefront so that we won't, like I said, just leave it to the side, because the actions that was demonstrated is not only for us, as parents, but it is also for those children to see, you know, what a strong, courageous woman she was in doing that for not only her children, but for others to see. And I'm thankful that it came to the forefront so that we could see it. And yes, we received whippings with belts and sometimes with shoes and switches and all. And I think we turned out okay, because those same situation that we got in trouble with helped us to learn, you know, right from wrong, what to do and what not to do. And in return, we are creating that legacy and setting those values into our children. So, again, thank you for the call to action.
And one of the things we have to let white America know, and I want everybody who hears my voice to understand this, because I sometimes use the term white America, African America, and these Americas are different But we're all American. I'm proud to be an American. But there are different segments of America sometimes you have to speak specifically about. And I'm going to speak for this short while about white America. White America has a nerve sometimes to look at the way that African Americans have raised their children and call into question of whether or not we're raising our children properly. And if you go, I'm from the 1960s, and I'm willing to bet you the majority of the children raised by parents in the 1960s were using spanking to discipline their children. And a lot of their children, or the majority of their children, learned to respect authority. They knew what lines not to cross, and they knew not to cross their parents. And I never crossed my parents. And I never would have called anybody regarding anything happened in my house. That stayed in my mouth, okay? And I never challenged my parents. And so, therefore, I grew up with knowing that I can be upset with my boss and unhappy with my boss. But if it was going to affect my house or my income, I learned to recognize when to shout and when to remain quiet. And because it's important, no matter what you're doing, is never do anything to impact your life in a negative fashion. Part of that is what you learn while you're growing up. You know when to speak up and when not to. And it doesn't mean you're not going to solve the problem. You're just going to find another way to do it. So it's that we draw lines or help our children to see the lines so that they don't cross it and have their lives negatively impacted, because we want our children to know that getting in the habit of taking stuff that don't belong to you is a long road and a long journey to being locked up, where you're not going to be able to live out your dreams and have life be more prosperous. And those of us who are believers know that the Bible says clearly, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, so many people trying to change what the rod is, but we all know what that rod is. It's clear. God spoke it. He said it. And you always say, you know, what he said yesterday is for yesterday, today, and always. Then why are we trying to change what the word rod means? And so that's what I want to say. And I just want to, again, reach out and challenge those of you who are out there who have the ability to Google things and find things out. And I promise you, if I am able to find out the addresses of these people, I would more than and put it out there so that people can write these people, email them, or do whatever their heart desires. Because so often white America extends to the people they care about and the people they're proud about, send them some flowers or send them something to tell them how special they are. We need to do that same thing in the African-American community. And as a black African Americans, we need to say to our heroes, thank you for standing up and coming to the plate and making what you did happen. And that way we can instill pride in our neighborhood so that these kind of things can end the same way. I'm tired of the negative thoughts related to African Americans being the only voice that is heard. It's time for the positive voice to have some light in the sun, and that's what we want to make happen. It's time for us to be effective and actively involved in doing what's best for our country and our nation. And I just appreciate you all bringing to the table and to the forefront your opinion related to the issues that I bring forth. So I'm just excited right now, and I just want to tell you, just thank you so much. Now, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to start the show with what the subject was for today. And I just want you all to stay out there prepared to speak up about the new subject, but I just needed to go back for a minute and revisit a story that we've had in the past. And thank you guys so much for being a part of the beginning of the show, and we'll get started with the second part of the show after this short break.
What is it now?
Jay's Homemade Ice Cream has a new flavor, Peach Cobbler.
The same brand that makes sweet potato pie and banana pudding ice cream?
Yes, Grandma. It's made with real peach cobbler, too. It has peaches and crust just like the cobbler you make.
Now, girl, don't play with me.
Real, Grandma. Try some and taste for yourself.
Mmm. It's so creamy, too.
See? I told you you'd love it.
I'm going to the store and get my two favorite flavors now. Dre's Sweet Potato Pie and Peach Cobbler Ice Cream.
Dre's Southern Style Ice Cream is so rich and creamy and made with high-quality ingredients. Locally made and owned, available now at all Brown's Family ShopRite stores and at 6142 Haverford Avenue.
I heard you got the fever for the flavor. I heard you got the fever for the flavor. Somebody said you had it going on.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Just a thought. Just know you can ring my bell anytime. I will have an extra key under the welcome mat just for you. Life is about knowing what makes you smile, even when you can't have a slice. This is James T. Deshay, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. Call in anytime at 657-383-0309. 6 p.m. all this week. All right, guys, hey, we're back, and we're going to start the show with a new subject. And I've kind of got a statement I want to make and find out what it is that you all think about my statement. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I think about it. And actually, the statement was created by someone related here in America who looked at Donald Trump's slogan, we're going to make America great again. And he changed the slogan slightly because he wanted to translate what he thought the slogan meant. And what he translated the slogan to was, we're going to make America white again. So the question I want to ask, can America afford for America to be white again? And what does America being white mean to you? I'm going to just share with you what it means to me. Again, I'm going to tell you that I'm not racist. I'm not a bigot. I love America, and I love the people in it. But I do know that there was a time when America was all about being white. When America, everything America did was to give privilege to white Americans. And we're still living in a time when white America has a lot of different privileges. So can we really afford for America to go back to being white again? Now, we live in a time when the population of people of color is increasing. We live in a time when our awareness of what is going on around us is greater than it's ever been. The news is in our faces in seconds. So we can no longer say we don't know. So I'm just saying to you that living under this situation, how can we be sitting back and relaxing in an environment where there are people out there who are trying and trying desperately to make America white again? Now, for me, what that means is setting people of color back on their heels, trying to make us second-class citizens, and taking away from us all the advantages that we fought for and we deserve. And it is time to stand up and be heard and not sitting back on our laurels, fat-catting, thinking that we're large and in charge when our basic rights are being taken away from us as we watch. As our rights for liberty and the pursuit of happiness, when people are destroying our youth, killing unarmed people, are we going to sit back and relax and watch our rights be eroded and America being white again. I just want to hear your voice and your opinion related to, can we afford this to happen? 4218, tell us your name and where you're calling from, and let me know if you believe we can go back to America being white again. 4218. All right, let's go to 3766. 3766, give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Regina Williams calling from Columbia, South Carolina.
Well, Regina, what do you think about that slogan that was translated? We're going to make America white again. What do you think that means?
Is that the billboard, the man who's running for office, and he has a billboard up like that?
Right. We had someone translated Donald Trump's slogan, we're going to make America great again, to we're going to make America white again.
Yeah. Well, actually, America never was white. America, when it's always belonged to the Indians in the beginning, the Native Americans. So America never was white. Anything that they have, or any gumption that they have of America being white, it was stolen from another culture. So they are really showing their ignorance and their lack of knowledge by saying we're going to make America white again, because it never was white.
Well, you know historically that America, white America, everything they've gotten off the back of others. So they really need to be a little more understanding about who really made America great. Because what they did was take advantage in a lot of instances. But you're so right. Historically, they don't, you know, when they're telling people to go back where they come from or where they belong, they certainly don't recognize that they are a part of the people who invaded America in the first place. But we're going to continue to go to our callers in there and just see. Now, stay out there, Regina, because we want to continue to talk, but we want to give everybody an opportunity to say what they think about this new slogan, America is going to be white again. 2730, chime in on this new slogan and what it is you think it means.
Well, if the slogan, make America great again, actually is saying make America white again, not necessarily being historically correct, but that's code for saying whites in control, blacks and minorities being treated as the lower class. And that's the way a lot of Americans are feeling. Those who are supporting Trump, when he said make America great again, even before anyone but translated said make a white again, make America white again, what it was meaning was, again, going back to where the whites are in control, the wealthy are in control. You know, here recently in history, if we want to talk about history, you know, rules and laws and regulations kind of kept some people in line. But his point of view that, in essence, the rules and regulations would not necessarily stop discrimination. It won't stop the killing. If we see that we have rules and regulations now and black lives don't matter, just know that it's going to be taken to another level in which any rights that we think we have really won't be honored. So that's a code for saying whites will have the superior role, the wealthy will have the superior role. That's what the thought process of making America great again, meaning that all these minorities have, you know, some rights and rules and regulations. Whites will have the rule and control, and that's what they're striving for.
And that's what we got to fight against. That's the reason why I'm challenging all of those out there who listening to my voice to make sure they understand our need and desperation to stand up and be heard and be defiant to the direction the pendulum is sending, is moving toward. And understand this, I hold accountable not only African-Americans and Hispanics, I hold accountable women and white America as well. We cannot sit back and watch our country go back into chaos because of some people's efforts to reestablish the white race and their dominance. This is about America being true to its Constitution, to that which was written and long ago, then we abide by it so that everyone has the right to fighting for their dreams and rising to the height of their abilities. And so we just want to make sure that we don't sit quietly and watch our rights be eroded. 27265, chime in and let me know what it is you feel about that. What do you think about that statement, let's make white, America white again?
Well, I agree with the caller, Audrey Adams, and the reason why I agree with her is because, like she said, it's sending out a message. The way that I look at it and how I look at things right now is that it's just a way of them saying that we can be bold with how we act. We have been, for the last so many years, 8 years, we'll say, being low-key with how we discriminate. But you put me up there, Trump, I can make America great again, and we can just be bold as to how we discriminate. To me, that's what I'm also calling out to our young people. It's time for you to step up, because a lot of our young people look at what is going on and say, well, it doesn't apply to me. Oh, yeah, it applies to you. So you got to realize that it applies to you, too. So you're not different just because you're hanging with a certain group and that you're in a certain clique and the whole bit. You got to realize that if you're black, it applies to you also. As an adult, we need to start communicating with our young people and breaking things down to them so they can understand that. We have to, and this is by showing them different movies to show them what's going on and having discussions and putting that movie in a pause position and breaking it down to show that person how the things really are and how people are really thinking about situations. That's what happened to us when we was growing up. That's what we portrayed to our son, and he happened to be a doctor, but we had to let him know and break it down to him as to what is going on in the community, how people are thinking, and how they are looking at things in different ways. So I think that communication now, more so than ever, to our young people, to the our communities, we got to step up and we got to make a stand, because to me, that's what that white, making America white again, making America great again, is the same thing. It's a, like she said, it's a code. And it's a code that we understand as people in the 50s and the 60s. We understand what is going on. So we got to bring it to the forefront to the people in the 20th century, 2016, to let them know what is going on as well.
And, you know, you are so right, because you see people, and I've heard some people saying, why are they playing Roots again? Why are they redoing that Roots thing again? Why are they showing us all that stuff in the past again? And I look at the history of the African crossing. I'm not really sure exactly what it was called specifically, but when they were talking about slave ships crossing the ocean to come over here and the horrific things that were done to African Americans as they tried to ship us over here and the horrific things that were done while we were in slavery, and recognize the fight is not nearly over and that we cannot sit back and fat cat it because there's so many of us going to college and there's so many of us that are making decent salaries and there's so many of us living in decent homes. No, we have not done enough. There's a whole lot left to do, and we cannot allow people like Donald Trump to circumvent the strides that we've made and take us in reverse. We have to be prepared and ready to fight tooth and nail for everything we have and everything we're going to get. And we cannot sit back and relax. And that's what I think is happening. Some of us are going to sleep on the job, and we got to stay upright and in tune to what's going on around us.
Exactly. I agree with that 100%. We cannot afford to be like a daisy up. And that's the word that it is. We cannot afford that. We got to be alert. We got to stay focused. And we got to really educate and communicate. Break it down to our brothers and sisters what is actually going on. Don't let them think that they're way beyond it. It doesn't apply to them. Because if you're black and if you're a minority, and it applies to you.
You're exactly right. Let's go to a few of these callers. I'm going to give 4218 another chance to get in here and chime in and give your opinion. 4218, can you give us your name and where you're calling from? And what do you think America being great again or America be white again really means?
Hi, James. This is Chief Apostle Felicia. I'm just listening. I agree to somewhat to what the previous callers have said, but I'm looking at things that's going on in the world as a spiritual aspect first. So much that I can say, but I won't. I just want to continue to listen.
All right. Well, continue to listen, but I want you ready and prepared when you're ready to speak up, no matter if it comes from a religious standpoint or from whatever standpoint you want to speak about. I want you to be free to speak about it. All right, 3766, chime in and let us know what it is you're thinking.
First, James, I would like to address this to the, not the previous caller, the apostle, but the two ladies who came, who spoke before the apostle. I'd like to thank them for enlightening, giving that enlightenment on the topic of making America great again or making America white again, because from the perspective that they came from, it gave me another avenue in which to think. And as they said, that is how we are going to stay aware of what is going on in our society, by opening the eyes of young people, letting young people know about the cold. And we know that it's cold, but we and they, I'll say younger people younger than I, don't really jump to it to say, okay, yes, this is cold, and you're not this, we've got to be very aware of this, and we've got to prepare ourselves to break these codes and not let these things manifest the way these white folks think they're going to manifest themselves. So I would like to thank both of those young ladies, both of those previous callers, for that moment of enlightenment.
And you're so right. The thing is that we cannot go to sleep at the switch. We cannot allow people to throw those kinds of things out there without calling them on it. And certainly we have an opportunity to stand up. We cannot allow the 8 years of Barack Obama to go for naught. And if our country was to get in the hands of Donald Trump, that's exactly what would be happening. And I'm all for people understand this. If there was a better man on the Republican side, and I knew without a doubt that was the case, I would be more than willing to support him. There is nothing about Donald Trump that suggests to me that what he brings to the table is going to make life for people of color better. Not one blessed thing. So therefore, knowing that, I'm unwilling and unable to be open to one thing that he says, because he comes from a point of bias. He's a billionaire. His parents were millionaires. He cannot begin to understand the plight of people of color. And so we have to recognize exactly what is taking place and govern ourselves accordingly. this man is not doing what is in the best interest of people of color, of women, or anyone else.
And you are so correct. And as I said, I just thank the ladies for giving me a talking point or a way to talk from and to enlighten other people and let them know, look, we've got to be on our P's and Q's. We cannot sit back and think that all of this is going to blow over, because it is not going to blow over. And the more they think they can make America white again, the stronger they're going to attempt to make it white. And we've got to have ourselves prepared to stand and fight. And maybe not physically fight, but be able for the mental fight.
That's right, the mental challenge. That's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about anybody taking up arms. I'm just talking about us getting off our dust and going out to vote, going out and supporting the people who support us, putting our money where our mouth is. Audrey, what are your thoughts? Do you have any additional thoughts, Audrey? 2730,
Audrey. I'm enjoying the discussion, and would be very interested to hear from the young lady that says she had the spiritual thoughts. One thing about this show, and I'm thankful that you provided, is that all of us have an opportunity to have our voices heard. And I thank the caller for recognizing just our point of view of what we share, not to say that it's right or wrong, but again, this platform, this dialogue that we're having, is only here to strengthen all of us, to help us all be better and more aware. So I think, again, we all recognize that we have work to do. We have work to do, and it goes back to what I was saying before. Words is good, and it's good to have that dialogue and open up that awareness, but actions speak louder than words, and our taking actions and being more involved will help the plight in which we're on. So thank you.
And that's the one thing I want everybody to know in terms of me, is that I am a believer, but I'm far from being an authority when it comes to the spirit and the word of Jesus Christ. I know what I think I know, but I have a lot more to learn. And certainly I can be assisted by those of you who are out there who know the word a little bit better, who've gone deeper into the spiritual side of what's going on in our world and our country. But I just want to be on record as saying that there is no time for us to be relaxing and fat-catting it. You know, some of us got it good, and we ain't trying to rock the boat. We don't want our voices heard in the public about what we truly feel about what's going on. Guys, if that happens, we're going to lose a lot of the benefits and rights that we've become used to, and we're not going to go as far as we need to. Barack Obama does not need to be, or should be, the last person of color to be in the White House. We need to take back the Senate and take back the House in terms of Democrats, or in terms of people who are going to do the will of the people. I could care less if you're a Republican or a Democrat, unless, as long as you're willing to hear all of the people and not just a segment of the population. We cannot continue to go in a direction where we are full of greed, and the only people who are getting the American dream are the rich and the famous. That is not what the Constitution was geared toward, and I think we need to step it up and step it up in a big way and not be fooled by these good jobs that we have, this good standard of living that some of us have, and not fight tooth and nail for everybody. The middle class has to fight for the poor so that we can expand the middle class. And that's what my take is on that. 3766, Regina, what do you think?
I totally agree. And agree with what you all are saying. And as I said previously, I really appreciate getting these talking points as I go around and speak with young people and speak with my peers and encourage people to become self-sufficient, self-reliant, to become entrepreneurs, to have more than, as my grandmama used to say, more than one hole to run into. Don't get stuck with just one career goal, you know, and have some money to put aside to help our people to become and become great. Don't rely on the government such that they can tell, the government can cut us down at our knees and then make America white again, as they are saying. We've got to have strength, and strength is in the almighty dollar, money talks. We've got to start paying attention to the fact that we create wealth, but where are we spending the wealth that we create? We've got to start thinking differently about our finances, and just, we've just got to do better.
And we've got to be prepared to support the people who support us. I am not hearing none of that conversation they got to have about Hillary Clinton, because the bottom line is she has been in the trenches. The Clintons have been in the trenches with us. They have made some mistakes, but overall they've been in the trenches helping the poor and helping to expand the middle class. And so I don't even want to begin to open my mind to all that foolishness that Donald Trump is spewing out of his mouth. Because I truly understand that you're not going to get all that you want from any one candidate. You're not going to get all, you know, if you've got some moral needs and moral values that you wanted to be acting on, those are not going to come from just one person. But what you do have to do is look at the overall person and see what it is that they bring to the table. Donald Trump has some nerve to call into question other people's character and other people's religion and other people's morals. And when he speaks like that, he needs to be cut off at the knees, because he is not the one to be challenging us to be morally correct and not vote for Hillary Clinton, and so that he is walking around in a white shirt and white pants all day long. We're going to go to a short break and come back to end the show. And I so much appreciate all that you all bring to the table and bring to my shows. And it's just so enlightening to have you guys back there willing and able to give your honest opinion about everything that we share. We're going to take a short break and come back to end the show.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Just a thought. Just know you can ring my bell anytime. I will have an extra key under the welcome mat just for you. Life is about knowing what makes you smile, even when you can't have a slice. This is James T. Deshaies, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. Call in anytime at 657-383-0309. 6 p.m. all this week.
All right, guys, I want to translate that for you. Ring my bell. I know y'all remember that song back long ago. Next time I have a show on, I'm going to ask the producer to play that song. Ring my bell, and I ain't going to try to sing it because I know I can't sing, but I'm going to have it for you. But what I mean by that, I want you to always feel free to ring in and chime in on my show, that there will always be a key under the doormat waiting for you to call in and share your opinion, and let us know what it is you're thinking. I want to just say to you guys, I want to encourage you again and call you to action to Google that information related to that mother and her spanking her children. I want to call you into action to go and find out how we can reach out to them and send them some personal letters and email them and keep them encouraged. I want to make sure that I do that. And I also want to call you into action to ask you to visit my website, www.jamestdeshaies.com, www.jamestdeshaies.com. DESHAY.com. Go to my website, look around, tell me what you think, tell me what you like that you don't like, and I want you to ask you to call me at 407-394-9819. Call me and let me know what it is you want to talk about on the air. If you want to be a guest host and have a particular subject that you're focused on and you want to bring to my audience, this is your show. I may be the host, but you're the person that brings this show alive, and I want your voices to be heard loud and clear, not only in your community, not only in your state, but not only in our country, but around the world. It's time for us to stop fat-catting it and get off the sideline and get into the game. And it's time for us to not look backwards, but look forward to the future as we bring everybody in on the team. So that's what we want to do. We want to have a team of inclusion and not allow the team of exclusion to have a place on the finish line. This is James Deshay, your host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And just remember, I want your voice to be heard loud and clear every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And keep your fingers crossed, guys, because if we continue to talk and be on this show like we should be, I promise you I'll be open to us being on the show, on the air, every day, because we got a job to do. We got a journey, and we want to be a part of what makes things happen and not sit back and watch things happen. Your host, James T. Deshay, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. See you again on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I can't wait, guys. Until Tuesday.
Oh. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.